Ben Roberts, racing across South Africa to raise funds for Thandolwa Bantwana Crash. Hashtag Bicycle for Bricks on East Coast Breakfast.
He made it. He's alive and well and sitting right next to us, Bryn Roberts. Skip that.
What a man. What a man.
Yo, what a legend.
And he's thinner.
Yeah.
That actually is the first thing I noticed. Dude, you've like lost everything.
I lost a bit, Darren Moll. Yeah, it's been interesting, to say the least.
How much did you lose?
Sky, it's somewhere in the vicinity of between 6 and 8 when I arrived. That may be down to about 4 to 5 as we speak now.
Oh, so you've made up for it.
I've made up for a little bit. Okay. Yeah,
in less than 1 month. Call Bryn now. Find out how.
Yeah, just cycled to Wellington from Peter Maritzburg.
Yeah.
So you very lost, expensive diet, guys.
So you lost about 6Ks, Eastern Cape.
That's right.
I heard the crime is bad. Hey?
Eastern Cape, Western Cape, KZN, right across the border, sure.
All right, so in case you haven't been following this epic journey, this crazy and inspiring man next to us took on one of the top five hardest mountain biking challenges on planet Earth. He left 19th of June from Pietermaritzburg. He went all the way down to Wellington on a mountain bike with everything he needed on his back, in a backpack. It's off road. It was through the mountains, freezing Eastern Cape temperatures. He did this firstly as a bucket list. It's something that he wants to do. He does these crazy things. We'll get into that craziness a little bit later, but also because of his massive heart. He identified a small little creche in Hammersdale that needed desperate attention, the Thandolwa Bantwana. So he was riding for them, raising funds for them. And so Bryn, you know what? We lost contact with you for 3 days. What happened then?
Yeah, that's right. Sure. Darren, it was day 13, day 14. We were going through the Bavians Cliff, which is in the Eastern Cape, and big up and down canyons, valleys. And I was saying to the guys earlier, I think I put a bag of peanuts into my bike bag, which in turn made my phone a little bit unstable. And on one of those downhill stints, it must have rattled out. And as I got to the bottom, my heart just dropped. I thought, gee, the phone is gone. The photographs, 500-600 photographs, voice notes, the diary. Every night we'd do a diary of the day. And I thought, oh, here we go. This is not what the doctor ordered. Been stopped, had a look. I think we looked for about half an hour, walked up and down the hill, and shit, the Bavian is a big canyon, and it was a small phone.
I think maybe it was a blessing in disguise, because your mood in the voice notes, the longer the journey took, was dropping. It started how's it, guys? Bryn here, starting the race, so excited. Yeah. I'll keep you guys up to date. And then by day 14, you're like,
it's cold.
Yeah. We were waiting for you to go.
I'm sitting in Port Elizabeth waiting for a mango flight home.
Bryn, did you find the phone?
Kirimela, I did not. It's still sitting somewhere in that bush.
Did you lose all those pictures, or did you learn about backing up to your cloud or your whatnot? Is this a lesson
we've
learned
now? Could I plead the fifth on that? Yeah, I think it's all gone.
So you lost everything, huh?
I lost pretty much most of it, Scott. It was a travesty. It was a very... I got scolded by Lauren because I didn't back it up, but sure, that was not ideal.
Assistant Lauren for the win.
Yeah, you gotta love that, my assistant. She's actually my business partner, but we gotta love the assistant tag. That kept me going for at least a day.
Tell me something, Bryn. I want to know something. How long did you travel each day, and how much sleep did you get?
Like, sleep was my biggest. So we didn't cycle less than 10 hours, and our biggest day was 16. So you know, every day we'd wake up at some days. I got a time penalty because of a shoe issue, but we'll get into that later. But I woke up at 3, and half past 2, and we were on the road by 3. So every day was pretty much no less than 10, and some of the big days were 16 hours. So it's a long time in the saddle, big guy. It hurts.
Well, we're going to talk about that. There was a particular part of your body we spoke about beforehand. We want to see what condition that is.
We
want to hear what condition that's in. And we want to talk about your shoes. I want to talk about your hardest moments. I want to talk about how much money we actually raised for Thandolwa Bantwana. All of that with the man, the legend, in the flesh with us, Bryn Roberts, when we come back.
Bryn Roberts, racing across South Africa to raise funds for Thandolwa Bantwana Crash. Hashtag Bicycle for Bricks on East Coast Breakfast.
He made it. He is here in the studio with us. He's an absolute inspiration. At the same time, equal amounts of crazy and insane. And Bryn, we saw photos of the soles of your shoes. These are cycling shoes. They were completely finished. How did they end up like that?
Geez, Darren, that was completely unexpected, and it was a nightmare. We were I think it was about 2 days after I'd lost my phone, so things weren't going so good. Mm. We had just dropped into the Groot Rivier, and it was a massive day. It was 3,500 meters climbing and a lot of riding, and for those who've done it, there's a climb out of the Groot Rivier Valley where it's about a 400-meter ascent, and it's a jeep track, and you walk out of there, and it's quite gnarly. It's you know, a lot of rocks and stuff, and I was walking along at the back.
Oh, you climb off and just walk.
You're walking and you're pushing your bike. You got your head down and you're looking at the rocks and you're pushing your bike up out of this valley.
I think it's worth mentioning that this is not terrain that is covered by people on bike or on foot or by car or anything. This is foot tracker stuff.
Absolutely. This is goat tracks. It's jeep tracks. It's where cattle cruise. It's on the heights. It's on the lows. It's everywhere where there is no bicycle access, basically, except for mountain bikes. And so I was walking along and boom, the sole came off. It was, the guys that my batch, the guys that I was cycling with, they were about 200 meters ahead and I couldn't shout to them. So I sat down and my heart was in my mouth. I thought, because this particular day we were doing a lot of hiking. So we had to cross that Groot Rivier 11 times. We were spending 8 hours in that valley of just purely walking, of dragging and hiking about.
You needed something to protect your feet.
If your feet are an intrinsic part of this whole process. Yeah. So I dug into the bag and found some duct tape and some Gorilla tape. At that point, I didn't use cable ties. Mm. That comes later. But I managed to duct tape the soles on, and I carried on walking. James came back and met me. He realized there was something wrong, and we managed to get out of that valley. But that was the start of a couple of long days with those shoes of mine. And those shoes were only 8 months old. You know, they were just completely ruined.
Brent, we've heard from you. We've heard from Lauren, and I mean, it's pretty obvious that you must have had some tough days, but there were a couple moments when apparently you actually genuinely, your head was like, okay, maybe this is enough now. I've had enough. Your worst moment. Tell us about it.
You know, there wasn't one particular moment, Kerry. For me, my moments were waking up in the morning, every morning, you know, and it's cold, you know, in that part of the world, it's cold. So you wake up, it's -5, -6. Mm. You've just done 12 hours the day before. Are you allowed to say ass on the radio?
Yes.
You just
ass.
Did.
You can. You've earned it.
And I think I just did.
Yeah.
So I wake up. So you wake up in the morning and it's not where you want to be. Yeah. You know, you climb on a bike, you force food down. You know, I unfortunately, kind of like Cataflam was my best friend just to get going in the morning. My knees were sore. And, you know, at top of 4, 4:45 in the morning before you climb on the bike, those are the tough times. And that's not just one morning, two, second, third. It's like 15, 16. You think, how can this be? You know, those for me were the tough times. The other was at night. You know, when you haven't got into your support station and it's 9:30, you know, it's 9:30, it's dark, it's cold, and you know you're still 10 k's away or 15 k's away, and your legs are failing, and it's like, and your partner's just there, and Jammer, this is getting real. And there was another thing that we used to say to each other. We'd say, James would turn to me, or I'd turn to James during some really tough parts of the challenge, and he would say, or I would say, Jammer, or you say, Bryn, this is RASA. Yeah. You know, this is Race Across Africa. And we'd laugh and say, this is this is the way we want it. You know, we want it tough. We want it to, you know.
Listen, Brent, we know that you lost your phone. You had problems with your shoes and stuff. I just want to ask, where's Little John? The mascot, your
Little John's sitting in my car.
So
I did not lose him. Okay. Yeah.
The mascot made it.
Okay, the mascot. Jeez.
Little John. So that was his name, eh? John? Little John?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
And also,
it wasn't Little Winky, it was Little John.
Yeah.
Because he was a Winky man.
A lot of people don't know the reference there, but there's a true story behind that. Okay. we're not just randomly talking about body parts this morning.
No.
There's a reason for that. But we'll get there. I also want to get there. Also, and you mentioned ass. I want to talk about the neighbor, that little patch of skin that you had special cream for, but we'll get to that. But you did it, and also I think you put a little too much pressure on yourself. You know that it's a 26-day race, and he set the target of doing it in 19. Mm. And did you do that?
Yeah, that was our real pressure, Darren. You know, we you got 26 days to finish the race. You know, I had my two boys flying in, and they were flying in on the Monday. We needed to finish on the Monday, and James had family flying in, and you know, that was the time that we needed to finish. And if we'd lost a half day or lost a couple of hours, or if we got further time penalties, that might have been an issue. But that was the real pressure.
Well, we've got with us Kim. Kim Jones in the studio from the Robin Hood Foundation. That's the organization behind the Buy a Brick campaign. Hello, Kim.
Hello, how are you all?
I'm very well.
Good.
You were with Ma Shangu. She's the the owner, the proprietor, the caretaker.
The owner and founder of the creche.
Of Tando La Bontwana.
Yeah.
Were you with her when you got the news? Bryn has done it. He has finished.
We were on site. I'm trying to think which day it was now that everything has gone so quickly. Well, wow. I felt like it did. I don't know whether Bryn did. But we were putting up the roof, actually, on the new extensions that we done. And I was, because I sent a little video message. Yeah. She just burst into tears. She is so excited. She's so excited for you to come through, Bryn, and see what's been happening there and everything that is gone on with the community support, everybody following your journey. So no pressure on you at all.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Kim, so we set ourselves a target of raising 50,000 rand for Tando La Bontwana.
Yes.
Bryn is back. He's done the race. So can you please tell us, how much have we raised? What's the final amount?
Did we get
to the 50, even close 000. To 50?
Okay, well, that is the exciting part. So I asked our admin last night to send us through bank statements so we could go through everything. Mm-hmm. We had some really, really huge donations, which was amazing. So Master Builders obviously pledged 30,000, which was incredible.
Yes, I remember that.
A gent called Peter Bodie pledged per kilometer. So once Bryn finished by Sunday morning, he had put 23,000 rand into the Robin Hood account.
Jeez.
And then
shout out Peter.
Amazing. And then we had running groups from Hillcrest saying, you know what, they're going to donate money from their post coffees, loads and loads of different little zappers and that. We also had Deso Roofing get on board and say, hey, they want to donate all the roof tiles and the trusses.
Nice. Oh, fantastic.
Ackermans had been listening to your show, one of the ladies from there, and they went in and they've done a little bit of a refurb on the temporary classroom that the children are in. Kwesi Training and Consulting has pledged to cover the costs of the jungle gym. So if we add all of that in, we need such a drum roll because you're going to freak out. Thank you, Kerry. 119,471 land.
Wow.
Not kidding.
Wow.
It's black and white.
Hang on, guys. Listen properly. Is that more than 50,000?
A little bit more, yeah. My maths isn't so great, but it's definitely more. Doubled your target. So
119, you've got to be kidding.
19, here it is in paper. Look, I've printed it out for you just to show you. There we go.
That is
we were aiming for 50, 119,000 rand. Bryn Roberts, you're the legend. Kim Jones and the Buy a Brick campaign with the Robin Hood Foundation and the generosity and just the all-round amazing craziness of the people of KZN. Thank you. Tando La Bontwana thanks you.
Oh, absolutely. The community support around this has been absolutely incredible. The messages every time, and you guys at East Coast Radio, your team, every time you aired something, my phone would buzz for about 4 hours of people either zappering or just wanting to get involved. How can we help? I mean, this wasn't even the rest of the stuff, people donating. I mean, we've had one of the Broadway pharmacies said they want to, for Mandela that day, they've got a whole bunch of wooden toys they want to donate for when the creche is finished.
Get me all those. Keep all those numbers.
I will.
No, I'll come right back to you.
I will.
Donate a brick for just 10 rand towards Tando La Bontwana creche. Go to ecr.co.za and click on East Coast Breakfast. This is #BicycleForBricks.